Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk all things Kardashians,
Madonna doing poppers,
and we interview Billy Eichner from the new movie Bros.
Woo!
Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Hi, bitches.
What's up?
Happy Halloween to all of those who celebrate. Is it today?
No, well, by the time this airs, it'll have been the week, last weekend.
True.
But happy Halloween all the same.
Happy Halloween and happy Cup Day.
Cancelled.
For those of you who don't know, Pop Gays, we proudly support the Melbourne Cup.
We're actually on little horses right now in the studio.
Yeah, that's how we record.
On ponies.
We put the mics in their tails.
Yeah, do a little ketamine and off and rolling.
It's gay culture.
It is.
Oh, I love that tweet. That's like
harnessless and ketamine.
Yeah. Appropriating horse culture.
Oh, I love it so much. Oh, yeah, fuck this weekend. But, yeah, happy Halloween.
Yeah, it was a fun one. It was nice to get dressed up, have a little bit of an excuse just to wear some shit that I had around my house.
Yeah, people thought I was in my pajamas. Like, for the listeners, I had a little Halloween do. And I went as Princess Diana on the way to the palace gym post-divorce. and the girlies who get it, get it.
Yes. I saw a tweet that was like, there's nothing queerer than having to explain your costume.
Yeah. I actually loved your outfits where you're like, oh, this is really casual and like doesn't take a lot of effort, because that's what holds me back from going from a Halloween party in the first place, because I want to put in an effort to dress up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was very torn between like how much like effort do I want for the gag, but then also what do I want to have to wear on public transport, you know?
Yeah. And absolutely. Then just having like things in my wardrobe that I never wear doesn't spark joy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've got a friend who famously has a lot of costume pieces, like little items that he's collected from op shops, and you know, when people are throwing stuff out, he'd be like, no, that'll be great for a costume. And then has never worn these pieces as costumes. It's like, for someone who has all of them, they're like, I'll be so good for a costume.
And you'll see him on Hoarders very
soon.
Yeah.
I do that too. You know, when you clean out your drawers and stuff like that, and there's occasionally pieces where I'm like, no, one day. One day I'm going to wear this.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen any celebrity Halloween costumes yet?
I liked Lizzo as Marge Simpson.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. I reckon I saw like half a dozen others, but none of them really stuck. Oh, Kiki Palmer as Rapunzel with like 8-foot box braids.
Yes.
It's so good.
Iconic.
I don't know if they're celebrities, but just some like Twitter gays went as Lisa Rinna Eminem, which I fucking loved. And then some people just went as Lisa Rinna and had like prosthetic lips that like literally went out like 30 centimeters from the face. And I was like, this is fantastic.
Incredible. How did she come to get, was that a malfunction that she's just owning? Somebody told me that she, like, her lips are botched.
I think she probably had like a Zac Efron kind of situation where it's like, oh, I slipped.
I slipped and fell and I have these kissy lips.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And a gay husband.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the girls from Riverdale. They were let out for one night from their contract, and they went as the Anderson sisters. The Sanderson sisters.
From Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they made it a little slutty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is nice. Always a pleasure.
Have either of you watched Hocus Pocus 2 yet?
No,
I watched
yet.
It the other day.
Is it all right?
Was it good?
Look, it's one of those movies where I didn't laugh, but I did a couple times just like cold and like glazed over eyes say, that's funny. That's funny. Okay. Do you ever do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, they really tried to feminist the story.
No.
And I was like, you don't have to do that. Let's just – and there was like a weird bit where they were like, witches may never be accepted. And then they were like, and we love eating children. And I was like, okay, are you like women who've been prosecuted or are you people who eat children? Because you can't be both.
they're like, we're inclusive witches. We eat non-binary children as well.
Yeah, exactly. And like at the end, they're like, yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but they were like, no, my sisters, we need each other. And it's quite beautiful. But I was like, they made a man a cat for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
They're not, I don't care for them. We can hate some women.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We support gay rights and gay wrongs. We're happy for them to be assholes.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of was my only qualm going into it. I was like, I mean, I love Bette Midler, but, you know, she was supporting, what's the president's name? Biden. She was one of those people who was supporting Biden before he was the only choice.
Yes.
Like Deborah Messing. So there's something quirky going on there, but I knew that she was going to do something.
Yeah, and she's done something transphobic witchy. Recently, I think, as well. Like she was.
She said some truly horrific things.
Yeah, yeah.
She said that, which is like so unhinged, during like the Me Too movement, she shared some like poem that's like quite literally the worst thing I've ever seen that was like saying that women are the black people of history. And then all these black women were like, what?
Yeah.
What about black women?
It was like, so fucking racist.
It's like,
and self-centering.
It's one of those things where it's like, you need to know more, but you also don't want to dig any deeper. You're like, I think we just leave that bet.
That's it was
enough
wild.
For today.
It was wild.
Honestly, reminds me of this tweet I shared a little while ago where someone was polyamorous and was like, I wonder what the slur for polyamorous people is going to be.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, it already exists. It's being polyamorous. But can we talk about Twitter for a second?
Yes.
Because the handover has happened. It's now in Elon Musk's hands. And apparently...
soft, supple hands that have never worked a day in their life.
Honestly, yes. Fucking colonial.
Profiteering off apartheid hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like an emerald mine. Or
yeah.
Some shit
yeah.
Like
have
that.
You heard any? Have you noticed a difference in your Twitter feed yet?
No.
Well, I've been seeing all the people using the N-word, like, because they're like, well, like,
what's going to happen?
It's like free speech now, is what they're saying. So they're just like going rampant, and like apparently it's like up 1,000%.
Oh my.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
People are going to, the thing that's like, the people are going to come back, like Trump and that Alex Jones guy.
Ugh.
And it's just,
Milo
it's
Yiannopoulos
so,
or whatever.
Oh, true.
Oh, so fucking true. I forgot about all those.
Well,
trolls. Exactly.
It's been nice.
It has been. It's been like, I mean, Twitter's still a mess.
Yeah.
But it's been a nice mess. But now I'm like, also how hot. Hard is it to launch another Twitter? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
I just hope it fails. I hope he fucks it up because he wants to make a whole load of changes that I feel like Twitter, all the social media platforms have changed, but like Twitter is the one that I'm like, I know what the feed is. Like the look hasn't changed that much.
Mm.
And I feel like Elon's going to come in and like change. He wants to have two streams. So two. What? Timelines or whatever.
What, one going for hate speech and one for...
Yeah. It's horrendous. And then, like, him coming in with the sink. Did you hear
about
this?
Yes, I saw that. It was so embarrassing. He cannot deliver
that?
A bit.
I didn't see that.
He was, like, he came into, like, the Twitter lobby with a sink and was, like, let that sink in.
Well, I thought it was, like, that thing where someone new takes over and it's, like, we're getting rid of everything but the kitchen sink.
Oh.
As in, like, we're doing a complete, like, purge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He fired people. Yeah. They were escorted out. Yeah.
So he's making light of it, and it's like, ha ha ha, I'm here and I'm cool and I'm kind of like down with the kids. It's like, fuck you, old man.
Honestly. Yeah. It's so gross.
Yeah.
It is a bit scary. Like, I hadn't really kind of considered it until like right now how much it's going to change.
This is monumental. Like,
yeah, I get like so many of my gossip news from Twitter. And
I know.
I think we all do. And then there's people who've obviously built accounts and kind of communities on Twitter, as shallow as that sounds, because I truly think that Twitter is in a way the least community friendly platform. But yeah, I'm wondering how it's going to shift and if people are going to move away to something else.
Well, people have been wondering, well, will they move across to Tumblr? But Tumblr has said that they won't be having porn anytime soon, sort of thing, which is one of the big things that people are like, this is good on Twitter.
I still miss Tumblr porn.
It was so good.
Why didn't they want it? They didn't like it.
I think they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I think it was taken over by Yahoo.
Oh,
and
true.
They were like more, I don't know.
Because when you have porn, you have to pay different like rights, and it's like very expensive.
And there's a security aspect of it. You have to be, yeah, for sure, especially with like,
yeah,
Tumblr, where you can just create a profile that's probably a bunch of fucking creeps who do yuck stuff too.
Yeah.
But it is, it's like, it's interesting. And it is funny because I've seen a lot of people, which on one hand I'm like, yeah, absolutely, where they're like, Twitter's already a hellscape. Like, people are just act like out of their minds thinking that this is going to change stuff. And I was like, no, it actually, like, it will. If there's like the bare minimum limitations that have been put on Twitter already feel like that fear of like that Milo guy coming back.
Yeah.
Fucking Milo. And stuff like that is like a real thing that I don't think a lot of people have considered.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Ugh, Elon Musk is one fishy looking man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him.
Neither.
Yeah. Have you seen that video? Like, it was like him leaving his house and getting into the car, but someone's put like a sort of like sachet. It's like, just, he's very funny to laugh at.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy it while we can.
Oh yeah. My God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Another Halloween costume. I don't know if you guys have seen, but Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Mystique.
Yeah, Mystique. And somebody, I think it was Sydney comedian Lauren Bonner, put it on her story and was like, this is literally what she wears.
Yeah.
It's just blue.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. Which I was like, yeah.
Yeah, a skin tight like thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Huge.
Have you been on Kim and North's TikTok recently?
No.
I went on the binge because one of their videos came up and I was like, I wonder what Kim and North are up to on TikTok. And it's actually the most like cutest, wholesome TikTok.
Aww.
Because they're just doing like TikTok trending sounds and North is lip syncing to them.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then she's like, she put this minion makeup on Kim.
It's so funny.
And it looked ridiculous. And then, you know, the other siblings feature and they're just really cute.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant the like fake North account.
Oh, the fake North account is still my favorite.
Yeah, that's so funny, that one.
I really love that North has a little TikTok and that there's like no comments and stuff. And it feels like it's like run by Kim as well. Like someone's looking after it.
Yeah.
So North can like have fun and stuff like that. The interesting thing that they talk about a little bit in the last season of the Kardashians, this second part season is not as juicy as they want it to be.
I haven't started watching it yet.
It's just an ad for all their products.
And it's so behind.
Yeah.
Like we're looking at stuff that like, you know, because the Kardashians, more than anyone in the media, I would say, are so like, you know, one week you're talking about like Pete, what's his name, going to fucking space. And then it's like, that's not happening anymore. Now we're on to this next new thing and a baby scandal. And it's by the time it comes on television, it's like we're watching stuff from like a year ago. We've already like completely digested.
Yeah, we're over Kim and Pete. Like,
yeah.
And it also like Kylie wants nothing to do with it. Like Kylie is barely in any episodes. She's only in like group scenes. she bails on. Well, she's just had a baby in this one, but like she wasn't in the last season either. And Kendall is ruined. Like this, like this reality show and being in the public eye since she was like 11 has ruined her. And she's very easy to bully. She doesn't help herself. But like I was like, you're not built for this, and you're like a shell of a woman.
I think I might have sent it to both of you. I'm not sure. There was this whole video explaining how Kylie is more in a relationship with her friends than she is with Travis.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense, because how do these two people who are massively wealthy and not even, they're not living in the same house and have two kids together?
It's not even in the same postcode.
No, it's like so weird. And also, you know, Kendall allegedly being a lesbian.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, why are none of them coming out?
In this day and age, it's like, it wouldn't, I don't think it would be a thing. It's like,
I think it would like benefit her brand.
It would be hot.
Because like all the lesbians would buy whatever Kendall is selling.
Yeah.
Because they're simple like
She's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And also just like, I saw another interesting thing taking down Kendall a little bit, being like, you're not helping yourself. I do feel bad for Kendall, just because I watched the recent episode where she has to go to like Las Vegas to promote a tequila company, but someone was saying that like we don't buy that she like loves tequila, because she always talks about how she's like a grandma and a homebody, and she just like wants to go home.
She loves
and, like,
her cucumber.
She just loves eating cucumber and hanging out with her friends and painting together.
Fake.
And just watching the sports. And then she's like got this tequila company. It's like, baby, you don't go out.
Yeah.
You're not drinking.
Well, no. Speaking of Kendall's tequila, have you watched the reunion for Beverly Hills?
Oh my God. Aurelia, you're not a Beverly Hills girl, but let me paint a picture for you.
Fill me in.
So ridiculous.
Well, Kathy, they went to Aspen in one of the episodes, and Kathy Hilton, the entire series, she's not even one of the housewives this year. She's like a guest because she just couldn't be bothered committing to the thing.
She's there for PR.
She is.
After the Paris Hilton documentary that kind of like roasted her rightfully about like being an abusive parent when she was growing up. And so Kathy's like, all right, fine, I'll finally do a stint on Beverly Hills. Oh, that's the only reason she's here.
What a fucking
cunt.
It's
so funny. Yeah, but she's such good quality, really. I can't stress. Like, she's the dizziest bitch you've ever seen in your life. Have you seen the meme where about her, someone's going, we can't all act like it's we're hunky-dory. And then in the background, like not a part of the conversation, Kathy to herself goes, who is Hunky Dory?
But who is Hunky Dory? I only know the David Bowie song.
Yeah.
That is like, I know Hunky Dory from the David Bowie song and the Fish and Chip Players.
Absolutely. She also put eardrops in her eyes so I couldn't go out one day. She was like walking around with
eyes.
She's always wearing like hotel slippers, but like just out socially. And she, at this trip in Aspen, ordered in front of, Lisa Rinna, the M&M herself, ordered Kendall Jenner's tequila in front of Kathy Hilton, who has been spruiking her own tequila to no avail all season.
She just kept bringing it out and being like, now this tequila is in a barrel. Like,
oh my gosh.
So there became this feud about that, and it blew up, and then Kathy Hilton like cracked the shits, and it became this explosive like physical fight back at the hotel that then sort of spanned the rest of the season. And it's all about, it all kind of like stemmed from this like tequila misunderstanding. It's like, what are we watching?
That is insane. Also, though, I do have to say I like tequila.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I'm on Kathy's side.
I feel like I like tequila more than Kendall.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, but that's not hard.
I don't believe that Kendall really drinks. She's like obsessed with health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just... She's so bored and has heaps of money. Yes. You know what I mean? When people, I was like, who do we know, like in our day to day lives, who would say that they're obsessed with health?
Probably me.
You're the closest to her.
But like you're not getting like doctors.
Attacked.
They getting that great. There's like a whole episode where her and Hailey Bieber are getting like vitamin C injections. It's very Yolanda Hadid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like I would do that if I was rich, but even then, like, I feel like that's the type of health you get into when you truly have nothing else to do.
Yes.
Yeah. While for me, it's like, oh, if it's a vitamin gummy, I'll eat it if it's on sale.
Yes.
It's also like when you're that rich and you have like access to every like health related thing that you could ever want, you have to start to invent new reasons to feel stressed out about yourself.
Yeah.
Like they had that thing recently on Kardashians where Kendall was getting Khloe to go and get like, it was like brain scans. But it was like looking at your like your aura, kind of like of your brain, and like it was just this guy being like, "See this color here? Yeah, that means depression, and that means you're recovering from trauma, sort of stuff." But then like I was kind of like, "This is just absolute nonsense." Like, but then he was then talking about like physical stuff. He was like, "Oh, there's a dent here in your skull. Have you ever had a head injury?" And then Chloe was like, yeah, I was in a car crash when I was a kid sort of thing. He's like, yeah, I can see that here. And I was like, this seems like, it's like, are we just looking at like brain scans being like, your skull has a dent in it.
I like, can tell that it has a dent in it.
I'm not sure that this is like above ground. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is happening here?
But also to be like, to have people like to read someone's aura when their entire life has been on documented on a reality TV show for like 15 years. And be like, I can sense a little bit of betrayal.
Yes. Literally was talking about her partner. Is it Travis that?
Yeah.
Because they're both dating guys called Travis, aren't they? Or they were.
No. Who's Chloe's ex?
Tristan,
that's it.
Yeah.
He's like a basketballer. And the guy was like admitting, because he was pretending to not know who Chloe was. And then he was talking about intimately knowing and following her husband because the basketball. He's like, oh, I go every year and I'm a huge fan of him and all that kind of stuff. I was like, you know who the fuck she is. Don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So funny.
Did you see Doja Cat's birthday party?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't get an invite.
No, we all missed out. So it actually had better vibes than some of the Halloween things I've seen. So it was, what was the theme? Fuck, I don't have my phone, so I can't look up the exact theme. But everyone was dressed in like lingerie, almost naked. Doja Cat tweeted for anyone to send her nudes of herself.
Oh my God.
From the night.
Oh, I heard about this, yes.
And the cake had the Illuminati symbol on it. And it was her 27th birthday. So people were speculating about her being in the Illuminati and joining the 27 club.
Wait, is that an Illuminati thing, 27?
Well, I think that 27, and also I just fucking turned 27 and I'm not Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Depressing. But you know how a lot of famous people died at 27?
Oh.
Like, 27 club.
Yeah.
Right at the start of their Saturn chance.
Yeah. It's a good time to go apparently. But yeah, apparently, you know, she sold her soul to the Illuminati. Then people were talking about Justin Bieber having done the same thing. And the reason I'm also bringing this up is because of Katy Perry's
glitch
malfunction, where she touched her temple when her eye was twitching. And people are coming up with all of this like conspiracy stuff. And
she's got a chip.
Yeah, like they're being controlled by other people. Thoughts?
I find it funny. Thoughts.
I know. I just think that Katy Perry has a lot of makeup on and and that can like slow down your like, and she might have got something in her eye.
Yeah. It's also like a stress response
when you're
underslept.
I think the thing is though that like her bottom lid didn't really come up. It was like her upper lid just kind of closed. Yeah. Like that's the like robotic.
You can also put it on. Like I feel like everyone can kind of like, you know.
Oh my God, Charlie is twitching his eye right now, malfunctioning. I like Katy Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, news reporter had a mini stroke while she was reporting. She was like at the Grammys and they were like, now we're going to cut to Catherine who's at the stage door. And she's like, hey guys, so we got a very heavy birtation and the habit hand and flip-na-pet.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I
and then
saw
they
that.
Were like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
Or the Gaga one, where it's like Ryan Seacrest, I think, is kind of like interviewing her on like some red carpet, and he's like, and he's like asking her a question, and then somewhere in the background, something happens where someone like chants like a Gaga lyric or something like that, and she just like goes like blank, like on air, and she's kind of like staring at the microphone, and she's like. And it's like a good 10 seconds of her just having this like deer in headlights face. And then Ryan's kind of like, okay, back to the studio kind of thing. And they just like cut away and everyone's like, the Gaga bot's broken. Like,
oh my gosh.
That's when the gummies hit. Like, yeah. I feel like people forget that these people are on a lot of drugs.
Yes.
Everybody always talks about the Gagas and the Beyoncés and stuff like that. No one's talking about when Tony Abbott couldn't answer a question. And
yes.
It was just shaking his, like nodding his head. And the reporter's like, are you going to say anything, Tony? And for like a full 30 seconds, he's just like, nodding his head, and then he goes, I'm giving you the answer you deserve.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's like, oh, the Tony bot glitched.
Yeah.
So true. But also, if you told me Tony Abbott was a robot, I'd be like, 100%.
Yeah. But if he sold his soul to the Illuminati, I'd be like, what did you get out of it?
like that was a bum deal. There.
A yummy onion.
Yeah. And also with the Doja Cat thing, it's kind of like, this is what, if she has to, you know, fight to stay relevant or whatever, it's like, well, that's what you get for coming for Noah Schnapp. Like,
yeah.
don't come for an icon.
He's got Vecna on his side,
oh my
baby.
God.
You better look out. That's sick, though. That's kind of fun to have an Illuminati birth. I feel like celebrities love to do it. Like, oh, but the one thing that like weirded me out was in the Beyonce's documentary.
The one on Netflix?
No. There was one a while ago. And it's just after she's given birth to Blue Ivy,
mm-hmm.
and there's a video of her afterwards with Jay-Z. Yeah, after she's just given birth, and they're like, I think like Blue Ivy, she's like holding Blue Ivy or whatever, and they're both doing like the triangle, and then they always do that to each other when they're performing,
yeah.
And it's like, but it is clever because.
You're talking about it.
They're doing it for clout. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and
it's
if
no
people
way.
Are already speculating that you're in something like that, like why not have fun with it? Mm. A, and then B, I mean, it's probably not directly the Illuminati, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of celebrities were into some kind of like, you know, Scientology adjacent type of bullshit.
Mm.
Like, you know, how a lot of people go to the same church in LA as well.
Yeah. It's that exact same thing that we were just talking about. Like when you're that rich, you have to invent your own problems. You're like, we need to like have this issue group that we all go to.
I can't wait to invent my own problems, honestly. Right now, they just come my way.
I do remember when I was in high school, like seeing those like YouTube videos of like, you know, it'd be like Lady Gaga's Paparazzi played backwards. And it's like, you know, like it'd be like all warped and people being like, these are like, Satan worshipping lyrics and all that kind of stuff. And I was so terrified of it. I was like, oh my God.
But to be honest, like most of Lady Gaga's regular lyrics already worship Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you don't even have to play it backwards.
Just play the song.
Yeah. Speaking briefly, we're talking about Beyonce. Have you been seeing this week people making jokes about Beyonce's mom, about how she's like posting Tina, what's her surname? Lawson, is it?
Yeah, Lawson.
She's been like putting up on Instagram like shots of like Kelly Rowland at some awards thing recently wearing a dress and being like, my darling forever, beautiful Kelly, looking amazing. I love her forever. And then it was like a shot of Solange, and it was like, oh my God, my beautiful daughter, another like glowing caption. And then there was a shot that she put up of Beyonce and her daughter. What's her daughter's name?
Blue.
And she was like, love my daughter Blue, my granddaughter Blue Ivy. And it was like no reference to Beyonce. And people were like, she hates Beyonce for real.
Oh my God.
No fucking way. That's crazy.
But there's all this stuff, like you go back and like anytime that she's talking or having to kind of like reference Beyonce, it's always just like dressed by so-and-so. Like it just has like a list of that.
Yeah.
And people think that it's because Beyonce has like said to her, like, mom, you're anything that pertains to me has to come through my team. Like, mm-hmm. you have to follow these, like, online protocol sort of things. Mm. And that Tina's just kind of like, fuck that. I'm just going to be, like, cold as shit. And, like...
Wow.
That's so funny.
It's very funny.
I hadn't noticed, but I saw the photos of Blue Ivy and I'm like, oh, my God, she's so big now.
I know.
That child is, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
Oh my God, did you see that Sophia Rose or whatever, the like little Nicki Minaj girl in the tutu on Ellen from like a decade ago
yes.
is now pregnant with her first child?
What?
Yeah, yes. She's 19. She's pregnant. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes I forget that teenagers still get pregnant. Because like teen pregnancies were such a thing. Do you remember like early 2000s?
Yeah.
There was a TV show for teen pregnancies.
Yeah,
teen
mom.
Was there a TV show?
Fan.
Jordan's a historian.
Actually, I spent most of yesterday
Jordan gripping
it.
The table.
Oh my God.
it's too niche to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta watch a reality show that a lot of people watch, and I gotta stop watching these like Sister Wives and Teen Mom 2.
Oh my God. I was just talking about Catfish. I've been getting back into Catfish recently.
Oh my God.
So much fun. But it does feel like it's a slice of time that we're not in anymore. Like they're playing the kind of like, you know, the kind of eerie music when they're talking about like digital, you know, deception and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, who these days, like literally find anyone 30 or under who is meeting someone online on any app anywhere and isn't just immediately Googling their name and like has already found 10 mutual friends, find out exactly about them. It's
yeah.
Like, how are you getting catfished in 2022? I don't understand.
I feel like the catfishing is more emotional these days where like you know who someone is and you know everything about them, but they're not actually like very forthcoming with who they really are.
Yeah.
Because you're painting like a different personality on social media than in real life.
Yes.
So the catfishing isn't actually about your personality as a real person. It's just how you present yourself.
Did you guys ever have a period of like, whether it was like, you know, the MySpace era or like games or anything like that, where you had like a sort of like online persona?
No.
You mean like have a hotel
yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
No. I was like, my mum worked in cyber safety.
Oh, wow.
So my mum, like, at every turn, she was like, everyone's a rapist.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew the word grooming from age 6. Like, I had so much online safety in my life. I was too scared. Even on Habbo Hotel the second anyone, like, was like, hello, I was like, who's that?
Yeah, no, it's hard. Like, because once you're not a child anymore, and I didn't really have a lot of internet access as a child. But as soon as I did, I just started blogging and I had like a fashion blog called
yes.
Give a Shit About Fashion. And I'd be like doing reviews of like Valentino spring summer. Like I had any idea of what I was talking about.
That's,
and that was like,
that's
my,
very cute.
That
very
was my
you.
Thing.
I love it.
But yeah, I deleted that blog. So yeah.
Because I was the eldest and my parents were not like, across like the internet in that way, I kind of like had like free reign, which was a blessing and a curse. But like I used to love like going onto like RuneScape and stuff like that, and like I would just play as like a big titty goth girl.
Yeah,
that's the gayest shit I've ever heard.
And be like, I'd stand in like the town square and be like, anyone looking for GF sort of thing, and there'd be all these like nerd boys that would be like, yes, looking for GF, and I'd be like, I'll be a GF, send me like RuneScape money or whatever, and then they'd send me their money and then I'd like take them to the wilderness and kill them.
Oh my God. I love that.
So that was healthy, but then because I was aware of like, you know, what the internet could be like for my like younger siblings, especially for my sister who was like 6 years younger than me, by the time that she was playing like Club Penguin and that kind of stuff that was very wholesome, but you know, there was still like chat functions and that kind of stuff, I would be like hyper like on it. Like I'd be like, you cannot talk to anyone at all sort of thing. And then I remember this one time I saw her like catching up with a friend on like Club Penguin being like, hey, Sarah, it's me. And I was like, what are you doing? And I like pulled the computer out of the wall. And I was like, you never tell anyone who you are on the internet. Like I was just like too extreme with it.
No, I love it. You cannot know who you are.
Full dad mode.
Yeah. Just like, it's me. Like as though anyone can take anything from that.
There's a really great Black Mirror episode where it's like two guy best friends and they have this like new VR thing where when you play the game you can feel things as well, and they're playing one of those cool do you remember those games where you just like fight and you were like different characters and you had like swords and shit
and you
just had to battle them. And they were playing like that game, but like one of them chose to be like a big titted like thingy, and then the whole then they just start fucking.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then they're like they see each other like in public and stuff, and they're like, "Hey, how are you?" And like, "Yeah, good, good." And then they'll like keep they'll just always go to the game and just fuck each other.
Oh, it's so weird because then remember in this end they like try to hook up but like couldn't because they thought they were gay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the wives find out, and then. Oh my god, it was such a roller coaster. Do you think that's cheating?
I think so because they could feel it.
Yeah, I think so too.
What kind of feeling?
Like they could feel everything in the game, I think.
But how are they in like flesh suits? Like
No. It's like a VR thing where you put on the glasses.
Yeah.
And then I think you like strap into it. Like you inject or there's something that happens. It's Black Mirror.
Yeah.
But they can just feel everything. They're not in a skin suit.
They've got like a butt plug up their ass.
Have you ever used one of those VR things with your phone?
Yeah.
It's kind of spooky.
I've done one of the VR ones that's like you're in a it's like simulating being in like a diving tank and it's like taking you into like the deep, deep ocean. And it was one of the most terrifying things of my life. Like I have real like thalassophobia is what the word for that is.
Yeah.
Like of like depth.
Nah, hate it kind of thing.
Yeah. It was truly harrowing. Never again.
No.
I was shrieking in the house.
Oh my God. I just watched VR porn and I was getting my dick sucked. I love this.
Perfect. Fuck the deep sea. Just get your dicks out.
That's so good. Have you listened to Rihanna's new track this week?
Yes, I listened to it as soon as it came out and immediately became really emotional. And then while I was at home and everyone was going to the Halloween parties that I purposefully didn't go to because I needed to stay at home, I was listening to that song on repeat and feeling really sad for no particular reason.
I love that.
I'm like, I'm doing this to myself. Yeah, I love it.
It's nice to be morose every now and then.
It's good for the soul.
Yeah, it is a beautiful song. She's got such a nice voice. I love it.
But I need the bangers to come back because I put it on and then it started some Rihanna playlist and the next song was Please Don't Stop the Music.
Oh my God. I saw this funny video that was like Britney and Rihanna fighting for worst comeback song. And it's these two like girls kind of like having like a Vogue battle and they're so shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This song doesn't feel very comebacky to me. It's kind of like,
Slow lubing song, you know?
Yeah.
We wanted to be like raw dogged.
Yeah. I wanted to have something on like the Beyonce level, but I don't think we're going to get a house album out of Rihanna right now.
I mean, she's the thing that kills me about Rihanna is that she's so young still. Like, I forget that she started, like, Ponder Replay was fucking like.
How old is she?
I feel like on Ponder Replay, she must have been like 16 or something.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, like, by the time she was singing, like, Want You to Make Me Feel, she was like 22, 23. I'm going to look up how old she is.
Yeah, I think she's like in her early 30s.
Siri, how old is Rihanna? 34. She's 34 years old.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Because it feels like she's been there our whole like childhood.
Honestly, she has been.
But she was a child too.
Yeah.
Charlie, you okay? You've gone somewhere.
Yeah, no, sorry. That's just fucked me up.
Also, like, I still need to know that baby name, Rihanna. What's he called?
Oh, has she had the baby?
Yeah. Ages ago.
I missed that.
Oh my God. Celebrities are like, I understand the whole, like, I don't want to share this with the world before I'm ready, which I get. But also, it's like on Kardashians this season, they're going into how Kylie's, like, She's like,
Wolf.
She's like, it's Wolf, but also we're changing it. But then they're like, it's like a couple months later and they're like, so is it still Wolf? And she's like, no, it's not Wolf. She's like, well, legally it is. And we don't have another name yet. So we are just calling him Wolf, but it's not Wolf.
That's fucking weird. I'm sorry. You need to come up. If you're changing the name, change the fucking name, no?
Yeah.
But that's when it like really comes in, like with Kardashians and stuff like that, the names become a part of the brand.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is a bit whatever. Yeah. But then again, like our names are a brand, I suppose, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but like also when you're just fucking Jane Doe and John Smith, your child's name brand is never going to be as strong as someone called Stormy.
Yeah.
Because that just like unlocked something. One celebrity started naming their children like Peaches and Apple.
Yes.
It unlocked something for regular people. Mm. And now that they're kind of being reclusive with their baby names, I'm like,
yeah.
No, you got to keep this up.
Mm. Watching the Kardashians have a sit-down dinner about it was like when they were trying to like pep Khloe up about like having the baby after this like Tristan thing came out. Oh, and they were like, we've so got to like help her be happy about it and get excited about the baby. She was like, I want it to be a T name. And they were just going around the table being like, you could call it Truck. You could call
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
Like, but literally they were just making sounds at one point. They were like, what about Tob? What about Tick?
And why it's
like,
T for Tristan?
I don't. Well, I think because she's got True and that she wants to have like True and oh, something.
Oh, that's Chloe. So dumb.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if we've really talked about this a lot, the thing with everyone having a surrogate now.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Because look, if I had a baby via surrogate and I just found out that the child of that baby cheated on me, I think it would be so much worse because if the baby was physically in me, then I could be like, okay, this is mine. Mm. Yeah. And like, I'm growing you. And like, I'm not to say that surrogacy is any like less valid as a form of motherhood, especially for people who can't have children. But just imagining her going through that and not having
the visceral,
visceral like thing, and just knowing that somewhere else someone is carrying my baby, and I just have to wait for this baby to be born, and the father has just betrayed me for
it's
the 12th time.
Sad.
Like it would hurt so much more.
And also, it was. I think it's fucked up. I think that the way that Kardashians use surrogates, and isn't Nick Jonas's wife Priyanka?
Yeah,
is using a surrogate as well. Someone's having that baby. There's a woman who is pregnant, and like some of them are having surrogacies because they can't tee up time to breed. And I don't know. I'm just
it's
like.
It's giving Handmaid's Tale.
Well, yeah. I think it's a bit.
It's like
fucked.
It's fucked, and like there's a fine line between me not wanting to be insensitive to people who like can't and like can afford to have a surrogate. But yeah, the same thing of like, oh, you need to take 2 years off for your body to like get back into shape to do roles, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's just because I think that it also like it starts to get a bit murky. Like, where does this go? And who's someone has to financially do this because they're in a position where they need to make
the
like
money.
This is like a place where they can make money. And yeah, I think we just get into dangerous territory with this becoming like the trend. It has for like years though. Like it's always been the case. But I just find it. Especially with like Khloe and stuff, and the way that they were talking about it when she found out about Tristan, it sounded like she was like, I've already ordered this baby. Like it's like a package that you can't, and it would be a fucked feeling for her and stuff as well. But I don't know. I think I think that
and he was like egging her on.
Yeah.
Pun intended, but like egging her on. Like in the lead up to what he knew was going to be, because there was like the expected date of the baby that he had with the girl that he cheated on.
Yeah.
And like he knew when that was going to happen. And so he was kind of like, I've got to kind of like lock Khloe down. There's a sense of like also like hurrying her along into this agreement. It's so deeply fucked.
Because the baby, they're both due around the same time, aren't they?
Yeah, they were born weeks apart.
Oh,
like,
it's
honestly,
so bad.
And
Tristan, no.
And I feel like a part of it is also kind of rooted in being traditional, as in I want to have two kids by the same dad.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, I don't think that really, it wouldn't matter to me if that, if I was in Chloe's position, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have another baby, but the dad is a fucking deadbeat. So what if True's sibling isn't their biological sibling? Like, just have a baby with literally anyone else.
Yeah. I feel like that's a real trend in the family, which is strange because they're like a split family. That sounds fucked. But they're like, you know, the two Jenner sisters.
Yeah, they're like, they came later. Like, that wasn't an issue, but now... Yeah. Like, all of Kim's children had to be by Kanye, like, for it to be a thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess Courtney is going to have babies with Travis. That's why it's confusing. Tristan, Travis.
Travis, yeah.
Two Travises. Travis Scott, Travis Barker. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah. It's too much.
Truck next.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking truck. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. That's...
I mean, when you're a Kardashian, you basically have to go through, like, what are the, like, already copyrighted terms for, like, merchandise, you know, after the whole, like, well, there's another Kylie that I have to come up against. That was so funny. Oh, I love Kylie Minogue's been like, thank you, no.
So does that mean that, like, so what happened with the Kylie thing?
Oh, Kylie Jenner tried to, like... copyright or like own the trademark of
Kylie.
The name Kylie for all the branded stuff. And then Kylie Minogue was like, honey.
No. I mean, I think Kylie, I still think Minogue.
Of course. Yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Like the only first name basis Kylie is Kylie Minogue.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if your kid was called Danny and you wanted to copyright, you know, trademark Danny, you'd be better off.
And the only reason that her name is Kylie is because of Kylie Minogue. Like, I know that Kylie Minogue didn't pop off as hard in the States as she did the UK and Australia, but she made that. That was, like, quite a local, like, Australian name.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere.
Mm. Absolutely. We should probably cut to our interview that we did very recently.
Yes, that was cute.
So recently the three of us got invited to go see the premiere of Bros, the new motion picture starring and written by Billy Eichner. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good.
We got to interview Billy and Luke McFarlane.
Who were so nice.
Yeah, lovely.
So handsome, great
skin.
And
we were so nervous and they were so kind.
Yeah, we had the whole, like, press junket time slot given to us between, like, actual, like, media outlets. And we're
hello.
Hi.
Yeah, and they were, they're so handsome. You really are.
Yeah, and there's something about meeting people like that in real life where you know what they look like on screen and then you're like, you look like this, like, here.
I remember when I saw Delta Goodrum, she came into a cafe to order a coffee that I was working at. And I was like, you literally look like an alien, like a beautiful alien. Do you know what I mean? Like,
just say that to her. This way. She's getting the pepper spray.
Anyway, this isn't about Delta Goodrum. This is about Billy Eichner and Luke McFarlane.
Yes. So we should cut to our interview with Billy Eichner and Luke McFarlane from the upcoming movie Bros. Congratulations, you guys, on this amazing film. We saw it last night.
Thank you.
Absolutely loved it.
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, loved it.
Now, a little birdie told us that you actually kicked off your tour in Melbourne last night at Circuit.
The night before.
The night before.
Saturday, yeah.
And what thoughts on the local cuisine?
We had a great time. Everyone was very nice. Yeah. Very friendly.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, gay bars are kind of similar all around the world.
Mm. I always say there's a universal language of gay bar.
Yes, body language. Yeah.
Body language, the music they're playing, but it was really fun. Everyone was lovely.
Yeah, so nice.
Well, in the film, Aaron and Bobby meet at the launch, I believe, of a new gay dating app called Zellwigger.
The best name.
Yeah, I love the name.
I love that these are the questions right off the bat.
I know.
Great.
I love it.
So it's an app for, you know, gays to catch up, gossip, and sleep together. Mm-hmm. And my question is, who is your go-to female actress to talk about?
There are so many.
So many in the film.
Yes, exactly. I mean, on Billy on the Street, we always talked about Meryl Streep a lot, but there are so many. Cate Blanchett, to name a local favorite.
Yes.
Nicole Kidman.
You're speaking our language.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just also wondering, in the film itself, there's a few little references to the work of like Nora Ephron. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much that played a part in the writing, direction, and production of the film as well. Because I also found that like Bobby in particular, it was really nice. It was just kind of like cynical yet lovable character, kind of similar to Harry Met Sally and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, we thought about that a lot. Nick Stoller and I co-wrote the movie together. He directed it. Nick's straight, I'm gay, but we both grew up loving those Nora Ephron movies and all those great New York romantic comedies. They weren't all New York. Sleepless in Seattle was like half in Seattle. spoiler alert.
Notting Hill.
So, and those Nora Ephron movies, they were very warm and delightful and comforting, and all the supporting characters were very specific and funny, and there was always a big ensemble of people in addition to the two leads. So there was a lot there we wanted to draw from. Mm-hmm. We kind of wanted to take the particular things about gay life and cast them in this warm Nora Ephron glow. So it's like we have an orgy scene, and yet it feels warm and delightful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's
I
what
love
we wanted.
That.
Yeah.
Finally an orgy. I'm like, that looks nice for me.
Exactly, yeah.
It really was like, and it was such a treat to watch the ensemble scenes in particular. We were sort of nudging each other when we'd say like, oh, that's Simone from Drag Race.
Yeah.
You know, there's T.S. Madison, and there's like special people from the queer community that are getting a look in.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was it like sort of curating, I suppose, this all queer ensemble?
Nick Stoller, our director, said this really smart thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, the secret weapon to rom-coms is often the actor or the actress you've never seen before being funny. And then you get to be delighted and surprised by these performers that, especially in our case, haven't had the opportunity to shine. So, like, this movie from the very beginning was like, we're going to give opportunities to people that have not had opportunities, especially to exist on such a big level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many hilarious LGBTQ performers, but like Luke said, like Nick has said, we haven't gotten this opportunity at this level. Right. And Judd Apatow produced the movie who made Bridesmaids and Trainwreck and 40-Year-Old Virgin. And those movies are always like filled out with hilarious people in the ensemble, but they're always straight.
Yeah.
So we're just doing the LGBTQ version of that, which was amazing to be able to do that finally.
Yeah, totally.
It must have just been such a joy on set to have that kind of like support and know that it's coming from queer voices.
And no one dies.
And we had no drama on set. I mean, we always talk about that. I wish we did because people love to talk about that sort of a thing. But we all loved each other. And I think we were also grateful to be there.
Yeah.
You know, because we knew what a rare experience this was. Yeah. And so we just wanted to make the most of it.
Yeah. It felt like the film had a lot of tongue-in-cheek references to the kind of movies that it's playing against. You know, the Dallas Buyers Club and Brokeback Mountain. And, it was very funny to have that like sense of like meta awareness.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah,
I think there's kind of a lot of that in our world. You know, it's like part of our sensibility now to be that self-aware. It was fun to play around with that.
Now, Luke, I wanted to ask you. So I know that you're a big Garth Brooks fan. We're getting to the real stuff now. So Garth Brooks ended up being quite a running theme in the movie.
Yeah.
LGBTQ icon.
Yeah.
And truly.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, was that added into the script to reflect a real life bond between you both, or was that there originally?
No, it wasn't there. We were weeks into shooting when I asked Luke on set one night. We were waiting around. It was late. I said, What kind of music do you listen to? Because we didn't know each other before we started working on the movie. We knew each other a little bit, but very little. And I was always trying to like get to know him, you know?
Very shut down. I'm a very method act.
Exactly. And he said he loved country music and that he specifically loved Garth Brooks. And I said what I end up saying in the movie. I was like, Garth Brooks?
Yeah.
I'm like more of like a Madonna, Mariah Gay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not that I don't like country music, because I actually do, but I just don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And then I thought at one point, oh, okay, that might be something fun to incorporate in the movie. It felt very true to our character.
Yeah. And true to gay people, that we have these little, you know, niche things. It's not all share.
No.
And despite what people think, we are a very, you know, eclectic group of people that have very different tastes.
Well, okay. I actually didn't know that Garth Brooks was a real person. I discovered that. I'm showing my Australian-ness here. I'm more familiar with the work of gay porn star Girth Brooks. I'm not sure if you're aware of
him. No, but I'm going to look him up immediately.
They don't call him the beer can for nothing.
Really? Is he Australian?
No, I think he's American.
Girth Brooks is a
great.
Girth Brooks is a great name.
It's incredible.
Well, in the movie, Bobby also has a moment telling us how supportive his parents were, taking him to Broadway shows and stuff. I was wondering if that was based on your real experience paying homage to your parents taking you to shows.
Totally. Yeah, that was very much taken from my life. I was very lucky. I grew up in New York City with very liberal, supportive parents. And I grew up in the 80s and the 90s when that wasn't as common for a young gay boy. In America. And so, yeah, and I loved theater. I love musical theater, and so did they. So we went to see a ton of shows. And that's often where I saw, like, my first openly gay male characters, because the theater world was always, you know, a little bit ahead of that culturally. Mm-hmm. So what I wasn't seeing in movies, I saw in live theater in New York, which I think had a huge influence on me.
Yeah, and in the film as well, there's a mention of how important it was for, you know, kids. And do you think that Bros should be a movie that parents take their kids to kind of expose them to that as well?
I don't know if parents should go with their youngest children.
Rated R.
Though I have heard about parents going to see with their teenage kids.
Yeah.
And it inspiring a lot of great questions and a lot of great conversations, which is the power of TV and film. You know, and so it's mainly a comedy. You know, it's not like an educational tool that we made, but I do feel that it can have that result sometimes. Yeah, you know,
a good movie should always make you ask questions.
Like, is this movie good?
Yes.
We loved it.
As a gay man, who.
It's
been so beautiful to meet you both. Congratulations.
As a gay man, it's been beautiful to meet you.
As a gay woman, the same thing. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much, guys. That was our interview. We did it.
We almost died, but we did it.
Yeah. They were giving us the, like, signal to wrap up, and Aurelia noticed, and I did not notice. So I was ready to just keep chatting. They're like, get the fuck out of here.
You're wasting our time.
Yeah.
But it is time for our favorite segment of the week, the pop or flop. Who wants to go first?
I'm happy to kick it off. I watched a very funny video that Jordan sent me this week, actually.
You're welcome.
Jordan immediately looked so proud. She sat upright in her chair and she was like, I did.
I was put on this world to send people clips.
Yes.
Of the Jonas Brothers having this kind of like, it's sort of like a hard-hitting interview, but it's just them kind of like getting to the core of some like Jonas beef about like, they're talking about like years ago when it was like when Nick and Joe were not feeling Kevin. And it's kind of like Kevin asking like, I felt like you guys wanted me out of the band or like you were leaving me for dead kind of vibes. And they were just kind of like, yeah,
yes,
we were.
Did you know I couldn't finish it? Because I was like, no, boys,
stop it. It's so cringe.
No, I watched it. Yeah. It was good.
It's so, it made my skin crawl, but it was the most incredible thing. Just seeing them like, you don't need to do this. Like, you don't need to this.
Yeah. Because some people are really like, honesty is key. I'm like, honesty is not always the key.
Yes.
You know, just let Kevin live his life.
Yeah. Especially with something kind of Disney-esque like the Jonas Brothers. Like, you're not some kind of like, you're not the One Direction or like a Backstreet Boys. Like, we don't care about the ins and outs of it. Like, you're literally brothers. Like, we don't want beef, you know? We just want to kind of, like, it's fun for us to make jokes about you guys, you know, and that Kevin being the Michelle of the trio.
Yeah.
But you guys shouldn't say that.
No, not to your brother.
Yeah.
And also, like, Kevin got the drew the fucking short straw. He wore that immunity ring or whatever.
Immunity necklace. Chastity ring.
The chastity ring.
His cock was in a cage.
Yeah. he got married and is just going to have sex with her. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Like, yes.
Poor Kevin. The others threw that ring away.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was just, you guys should definitely watch it if you haven't seen this video. It's mind-blowing. It's the weirdest, most awkward thing you'll ever see in your life. But basically, yeah, Nick and Joe are just kind of like, yeah, look, we felt like you were holding us back and you didn't want it enough. And also we were the talented hot ones and goodbye. Oh. It's just like.
And then like family Christmas is going to be weird.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just didn't feel like it had, there was no reason for them to
no,
do this.
No, it's like, why are you shitting on his grave? Oh. Like,
let him die. He's already dead.
Yeah. So that's my pop. It was. it's one of the craziest experiences of my life. What about you guys? What's going on this week?
Well, speaking of poppers, I don't know what it is. I'm saying it's a pop because it is fun. Madonna is cuckoo crazy right now. Something's going on. She's throwing shirts all over the place. She's going on Instagram Live. We talked about this last time, but she will not rest. She is out for blood. And this there's a video of her on an Instagram Live, and she just out of nowhere starts sniffing poppers.
Yes, with that she's
oh my God,
she does
what's
all,
her name? She's so funny.
She's hysterical. She does all the like live things, and she's like playing like a Christian woman.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's so good.
She's had one with like Doja Cat, I'm pretty sure.
And Hunter,
oh, I want to see this.
Yeah, and like a lot
Link
of like
me.
Big names.
Yeah.
Will do these like low budget, extremely low fi. Like you would recognize her for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so funny.
It was
she's like a Southern woman.
Yeah. but like Madonna's just doing her hair or getting her hair done, and she just does poppers on the live.
That's so strange.
It's so strange. It is just like she went back down.
Yeah.
From the gay thing.
No.
No? I don't know. Well, I have a flop for the week.
Nice.
I will not name names. No, but it's just come to my attention that, you know, with Halloween, obviously people are really creative with their costumes, but sometimes it's also like are you trying to be creative or are you just downright offensive? Because a sketch duo dressed up as Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and they had like they have a massive platform and a lot of, you know, followers. And the whole like Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial was so jarring for domestic violence, advocates, survivors, et cetera, that making it into a costume felt too soon, but also like never appropriate.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And also like the one of them was holding like the bottle that was allegedly like used to assault Amber as well. Yeah. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, what is this?
That's really, really fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like people going as Dharma. This Halloween.
Oh, that
is just so, yeah, it's, we moved away from the like cultural appropriation once and now we're in the like dicey Me Too like era of costumes where I feel like people feel like the line is more blurred, but to me it's all one and the same.
Mm.
Like if you're dressing up as Johnny Depp and Amber Heard or Jeffrey Dahmer, you're truly no better than the people who used to do blackface when it wasn't so like frowned upon. Like you wouldn't really see anyone doing blackface in the year of our Lord, Beyonce 2022, unless you're in like a really backwards part of wherever. But the fact that people in major cities in Australia are dressing up like that is kind of, yeah, a big flop.
Yeah, that's a definite flop.
Yeah, and like we were saying before, it should be dumb costumes based on unique memes that you have to explain.
Yes, exactly.
If you're not doing that, then why did you come?
Yeah. Go home. Get out of that fucking suit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Put down that fucking bottle. sorry to end on like such a downer.
No,
it's kind of nice. Yeah. It's like a grey day outside. I feel like it's appropriate that we end on
Yeah.
Fucking dum dums.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Melbourne Grey.
Don't be a dum dum.
Beautiful. Well.
Back and with that, bye.
Get out. Everybody get out.
See you later. Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.